This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome back to this program nationally syndicated radio talk show host Tom Hartman. He has the most listened to progressive radio talk show in the nation, and you can hear him on our sister station every afternoon from 12 to 3 right here on WVAX 1450 AM. Here in Charlottesville. His new book is Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. Tom, welcome back to the program.
Coy, thank you very much.
You've been very busy. You're traveling quite a bit. You're on the road a lot now.
Last couple of weeks, yeah, because we've got this new book out. I've been doing the book tour gig, and we'll be in also coming up in Dallas on the 19th and in September, and Ithaca on the 25th, and I don't know, there might be a few other cities we'll be plugging in there, but hopefully it'll be winding down shortly.
That's very exciting. Yeah, that's very exciting. You're all over the place. Before we talk about the book, Tom, I'm curious, when you're out and about and you're meeting with folks and signing the book and giving talks, what are you hearing from Americans across the country as you're traveling around?
I'm hearing that people are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore, and they're the people who have a fair level of understanding of how government works and how the private sector interacts with government, particularly at the level of, you know, lobbying and things like that, they tend to be upset with the incredible corporatist tilt that this country has taken over the last 30 years since Reagan really introduced that, you know, as government bad, corporations good. And we've seen the rise of for-profit healthcare, for example, and all these kind of things. And the people who don't have a fundamental understanding of politics, never studied civics in school, don't really know what's going on, and are listening to the corporate, I was going to say PR, but propaganda, really, they are showing up at tea bag parties and shouting about get your socialist hands off my Medicare and my Social Security, you know, non sequiturs and incoherencies. But both sides are really upset, and they're, you know, and the thing that's upsetting them is that, you know, basically since Ronald Reagan came into office, wages for working people have been flat or declining, and expenses have been exploding. And the rich have been getting richer, and the middle class has been turned into the working poor.
We're talking with Tom Hartman. You can hear him every afternoon here in Charlottesville on WVAX 1450 from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Your new book is Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. And I'm sure it speaks to this very issue of this idea that people have of government in America. A lot of people seem to be confused about what it is and what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely, Coy. In fact, the book opens in Darfur, where we did our show by satellite phone a year ago March from, and from a refugee camp on the Darfur border in South Sudan, and pretty much ends with Copenhagen, Denmark, where we did our show for a week from the studios of Danish Radio. It's kind of like from hell on earth to heaven on earth, from the worst place on the planet we could find to what CBS News described as the happiest place on earth, and trying to find out, you know, what the differences are, and you know, one of the major differences is that the people got together, much like the founders of this country did, and said, you know, we need to collaboratively create an entity, we're going to call it government, and that entity needs to play an active role in the lives and the governance, the lives of our people and the governance of our nation. And, you know, it works very well in Copenhagen, and it's pretty much non-existent in Darfur. And so, yeah, that's a big issue.
Tom, what is the message of Threshold, your new book? And, folks, we're going to be giving away a free copy here at the end of the interview, so stay tuned.
The main thesis is that we stand on the edge of three primary thresholds, an environmental collapse, a population crisis, and a crisis of the collision of democratic ideals and democratic government, small d democratic, and laissez-faire, raw, you know, unbridled capitalism, and the conflict between the two, inherent between the two, and for that matter, the conflation of raw capitalism with tyranny, as we see in communist China, for example, where you've got an autocratic regime that is using capitalism to strengthen itself. And so how can we pull back from the environmental precipice or pass through that threshold into a better world for our children and our grandchildren? How can we pass through the population threshold into a stable or even declining population worldwide, where we are more in line with the carrying capacity of the planet? We're pushing 7 billion people and consuming well over 60% of the net photosynthetic productivity of the planet, wiping out species and potentially wiping out ourselves in this process. And how can we recapture the small d democratic ideals of a republic that is actually governed by its people rather than by an elite few? The elite few in Great Britain in the 18th century, in the 1700s, when we fought the revolution, of course, were the king and a few of the nobles, the royal family and the nobility. Now it's a handful, probably 100, 150 major corporations in the United States who have taken over that role and dictate to government what it will do. And how do we unwind that? You know, how do we put the genie back into that bottle?
Tom, is there a common in terms of the solutions to all three problems which we face as a species, really, is there a common thread that unites the solutions?
Yes. The common thread is culture, which is why the subtitle of the book is The Crisis of Western Culture. Culture is the collection of stories that we all agree to tell each other about how the world is and how it works and what our role is in it and all that sort of thing. And in each one of these cases, we have been telling ourselves stories that, you know, arguably at times in the past might have been even useful, but in the modern world are dysfunctional. And we need to recalibrate our stories, and we don't need to invent them out of whole cloth. There are plenty of cultures that have preceded us that have crashed and burned and then recovered from it, or some that passed through without crashing and burning that changed their stories, and as a consequence of that were able to live sustainably for long periods of time, in many cases for tens of thousands of years, in the case of, for example, the San of the Kalahari, and learning from them, the Iroquois Confederacy, another great example. What do people who have made the mistakes that we're making right now and paid the price, what can we learn from them? There's a whole chapter devoted to the Maori of New Zealand, who, when they first discovered that island 900 years ago, thought they were in paradise. There were all these birds weighing up to 500 pounds, 50 to 500-pound birds, like ostriches. They're called moa birds, just walking around. You could walk right up to them and break their necks and have, a meal for a family for a week right there. And it took them about 300 years to kill every single moa bird on the island, and then they devolved into starvation. And, what can we learn from that experience? What did they learn from that?
So you think, you would argue that we've been around long enough and we have enough collective wisdom to recognize, the human species is mature enough to recognize that culture is a tool, and that if it's not serving its purpose, then we should refashion this tool. It's not something that we just blindly inherit and blindly pass on.
That's right. And in fact, our culture is changing and will change. The question is our culture going to change as a consequence of crisis and disaster, or as many cultures have? Or is it going to change because we've seen the light and said, okay, we're not going to go down that road. Here's a road that looks like it'll work a whole lot better. And there's actually some very good signs of the latter, and there's no shortage of signs of the former. And so the first part of the book is basically pointing out the potential disasters that lie ahead. And then in the middle of the book, it's how other cultures have learned from these and dealt with them. And then the last part of the book is how we can use those learnings along with what we know now, perhaps uniquely, being able to look back over history in ways that no other culture before us has been able to do, and say, okay, how do we reinvent our culture and our cultural institutions, government, corporations, religions? How do we reinvent all the families? How do we reinvent all these things, not necessarily reinventing the family, but re-understanding it, in ways that are sustainable?
I have to say this, it's so profoundly and utterly Jeffersonian to say that we need to stop and take stock of where we are, and perhaps we need to change our culture, reinvent the institutions that we've all taken for granted. I mean, that's what the Enlightenment was all about, was just this kind of thing.
And it's literally what the founders did with the creation of this country. This country was a huge experiment that had not been tried in nearly 3,000 years at the time they started the United States. And the last time it had been tried in Athens in Greece, it lasted a few hundred years and then collapsed or got conquered by Alexander the Great. And actually went through a series of revolutions that some argue Socrates was actually provoking, but that's a whole other side discussion. But there was a lot of skepticism about whether a democratic republic that was a representative, constitutionally limited democratic republic could actually survive. You know, there was a major debate about whether the people collectively were smart enough, whether collective wisdom was smart enough to run a country, or whether we needed to have wise or God-ordained leaders determining our fate. And it was an aggressive battle within the United States, and we ended up deciding we can govern ourselves. And for a long time we did, and now we've slid, particularly over the last 30 or 40 years, we have slid back to being governed by a very small and very powerful elite. And the question is, are we going to return to democracy?
My guest is Tom Hartmann, best-selling author and nationally syndicated radio talk show host, the most listened to progressive radio host in America. You can hear him every afternoon on WVAX, our sister station, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. here in Charlottesville. His new book is Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, and he is a cat owner like myself.
Yeah, you can hear Higgins.
Tom, let me ask you this. What really bothers me are the ideologues, whether on the far right or the far left. I don't care. They both bother me because they seem to have so much in common with the folks in the colonies 200 years ago who really were terrified of the revolution and had come to love the way things were. They had come to believe that the principalities and the kingdoms and the way things had always been done for hundreds of years, that there was just something holy about this. And they see in, whether it's capitalism or even the Constitution itself, they've come to worship these things rather than recognize what Jefferson did, that, hey, folks, these are tools, and these are the best things that we could come up with at the time, and I hope that you in the future will be wise enough to sit down, take stock, and come up with new tools.
Yeah, in fact, Jefferson suggested that every generation, every 19 to 20 years, we should revisit, you know, our Constitution, although I think in his later years he was a little more sanguine about that. But, yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things in the book Threshold that I call for is which in a way is what you're suggesting, but using very different language, is a resacralizing of a couple of things, making sacred again life, all life. You know, in other words, viewing the planet as a whole living system that we're part of, we're interpenetrated by, and that we interact with, and making it not in a religious sense sacred, but and not even necessarily in the Carl Sagan look up into the sky and get that feeling of awe sense sacred, but something close to that. And also that we consider that small-d democracy, which our Constitution, I think, does a reasonably good job of reflecting. You know, it's got a few flaws in it. For example, you know, it would be nice if there was proportional representation or instant runoff voting built into it, which would make it more democratic. The founders didn't know about that, you know. Proportional representation was invented in 1860 by John Stuart Mill, so it wasn't there in the early days. But and most modern democracies, with the exception, you know, of the more than 100 democracies around the world, only 7 of them are set up the way we are, and 2 of those are Australia and New Zealand, and they've gone with nationwide instant runoff voting to deal with that problem. But setting aside those small arguments, that we examine that document and say, you know, there is something really extraordinary and special about this, and it is, frankly, not being followed, because, you know, the first 3 words of the Constitution, we the people aren't making the decisions. It is they, the CEOs and the major corporations, and there's something profane about that.
How do you explain the people who basically carry water for those CEOs in the name of liberty?
I think it's tragic. There are many the libertarians, for example, who I jokingly refer to as Republicans who want to smoke dope and get laid, because they're, you know, socially they want to reform marijuana laws and legalize prostitution, but fiscally they're very happy with corporations running everything. And you know, I think it's tragic. I mean, the question is not to use healthcare as an example. The question is not, do you want a government bureaucrat paying the bills for you to go to your doctor and perhaps having some say in your medical treatment as a result of that? The question is, do you want a government bureaucrat doing it, or do you want a corporate bureaucrat doing it who's answerable to a CEO who's making over $100 million a year, like Stephen Hemsley of United Healthcare, and to stockholders who demand a profit? Because those are your choices. None of us, or very few of us, I'm certainly not, very few Americans are rich enough that they could survive a million-dollar bout with cancer. So we have to spread the risk over a large number of people. And so when people understand that those really are the choices, do you want a rule by we the people, which is representative, constitutionally limited republic that we have, government actually can be good, or do you want rule by the corporations? When people get that, then I think the answer becomes much clearer.
We're talking with Tom Hartmann, nationally syndicated radio talk show host on our sister station, WVAX. You can hear him every afternoon at noon. His new book is Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. Tom, you raised the subject of health care, and you mentioned the idea of spreading the risk around, and that's what we do now with the fire department or the police department, correct?
That's right, yeah. They're socialist institutions. They very much are. In fact, there's a Facebook page now. It's called Millions Strong Against Socialist Fire Departments. And it's a tongue-in-cheek site that says, you know, do you realize our fire departments are socialist institutions and you're forced to pay taxes for it and the odds of your house burning down are infinitesimally small and, you know, we demand not to have to pay taxes and let's just bill people when their houses burn down and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's amazing the number of people who are coming to that Facebook page and going, yeah, hey, I want to join this. So, you know, it's like, socialist institutions, I never realized that. But yes.
And for folks who don't know the history of this, before there were publicly funded fire departments, they were privately funded, and if you hadn't paid to the fire department that was going down the street when your house was burning, they would just keep on going.
Yeah, and then when there were competing fire departments, if you didn't have the medallion on the front of your house for the right one, they literally would drive right on by. And the East Coast was mostly public because Ben Franklin started Philadelphia's fire department as a public institution, and it kind of stuck. But as kind of a more libertarian perspective was carried with the settling of the West, Chicago, for example, had five competing fire departments. The thing that put an end to that, and that was really the death knell of private fire departments, was the Great Chicago Fire. And because, you know, it was a conflagration, and then the private fire departments were unable to deal with it, and arguably made it worse.
So what are your thoughts before we let you go? We're talking with Tom Hartmann. What are your thoughts on the healthcare debate and healthcare in general? Like, what do you think needs to happen that's not happening?
I think that my big issue is that I don't understand why we are the only country in the world, the developed world, that allows a corporation, a for-profit corporation, to offer basic health insurance. You know, it's true that, for example, in Switzerland, there are no government health insurance plans. The government is not involved in health insurance other than saying two things. Number one, if you're going to provide basic health insurance that covers sickness and things, you must be a not-for-profit corporation. And number two, you cannot, and then there's a whole set, it's very, very highly regulated. You cannot deny people based on pre-existing conditions. You cannot have caps on payments. You cannot have co-pays or deductibles above a certain amount, et cetera. And so it functions as if it was a single-payer system in many regards, but there's several competing companies in Switzerland. But that discussion, I mean, there was a public television special made about healthcare around the developed world, and they compared a bunch of different countries, you know, single-payer in Germany or mixed corporate only in Switzerland, mixed socialist medicine in England, mixed system in France, and they pointed out that in all of these countries, it's a crime, it's literally a felony for a for-profit company to offer health insurance because it's considered, you know, our lives are sacred. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting made the producer take that out of the documentary, and so he took his name off it, T.R. Reid, and he's coming out with a book about this exact story that I'm telling you about. Right now he's written an article about it recently. And it's like the unspeakable truth in America, that we've got these corporations whose CEOs are making tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a year. In the case of United Healthcare, Stephen Hemsley, 5 years on the job, $700 million worth of compensation. His predecessor, Bill McGuire, 10 years on the job, $1.78 billion in compensation for one man. And every single one of those dollars came from people like you and me paying health insurance premiums, thinking that they were paying for health care when they were in fact paying for one guy to get rich, or a small handful of guys to get rich, and a bunch of stockholders to split up, in the case of United Healthcare, a $5 billion profit as dividends. That's just wrong. That's just wrong. And so my big rant is, you know, why have for-profit health care insurance at all in the United States? We should join the rest of the world and just say, you know, do it for not-for-profit or don't do it at all.
You can hear more of Tom Hartman every afternoon from 12 to 3 on our sister station, WVAX 1450 AM. He's a best-selling author, and his recent book is Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. Tom, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Quite, thank you very much for a thoughtful conversation. I always appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.